Isn't she a wonderful lady? You can see why I really tried hard, and I succeeded because I endured to the end. I also do love those missionaries who came to their door because they blessed my life through this family. And our children, they know their names too. And our grandchildren do the same. My dear young friends, my dear brothers and sisters, it's wonderful to be with you. What a privilege to be in Ricks College with you today. You have inspired leaders. President Sister Bednar, Elder and Sister Bednar are marvelous people. And they are surrounded by great teachers. You're a group of young men and women with marvelous potential to bless not only your own lives, but the lives of those with whom you will come in contact. As my wife and I traveled to Rexburg this morning, we entered a somewhat white part on our own world travel map because we have never been at Ricks before. During my professional life as an airline captain, I often traveled from Frankfurt, Germany to Los Angeles nonstop. Sometimes the route brought me over Yellowstone Park and the Grand Tetons. How I envied the people who live close to these beautiful parts of the world. Had I better realized that Ricks College was also in the vicinity with you wonderful young people attending, I would have been even more excited about this special location. When President Gordon B. Hinckley announced on June 21, 2000 that Ricks College would become a four-year educational institution known as BYU Idaho, President David A. Bednar was quick to proclaim this historic announcement initiated a process of transition. You are privileged to be part of this historic transition. Future generations will envy you for the opportunity to be in the center of the action as all this transpires. See the far-reaching dimension of this transition, get the picture, and be cognizant of what is happening around you during this wonderful time. Since English is not my native language, it's a foreign language for me, I like to look up words and their meanings. In Webster, we find transition or change is an act or fact of passing across, a passage from one place to another, or a period in which change takes place. For surveyors, it means to turn to a vertical plane and correct directions. In astronomy, it refers to a passage of a heavenly body across the meridian of a location, the crossing of a celestial body. Our life is such a transition. As we look at our individual lives, aren't we all in a transition phase during our earthly existence? Isn't our life a transition from the presence of our Heavenly Father to new phases of life, such as birth, death, and resurrection? President Kimball has said, God has taken these intelligences, given to them spirit bodies, then he proceeded to create a world for them. As spirits to obtain a mortal body, he gave them instructions on how to go about developing and conducting their lives to make them perfect, so they could return to their Heavenly Father in heaven after this and their transitions. Let us be aware of this great transition in which we are engaged throughout our whole life. Being cognizant of it will help us to set our priorities and keep our focus straight. To know who we are, where we come from, and where we are heading is a most important baseline for our decisions in life. If we don't know our desired destination, it won't really matter where we are going to arrive. Fix clearly in your heart and mind who you want to become and what you want to be in 1 year from now. Take note today at this time that the Spirit will teach you what those goals and what this direction will be. You need to know where you want to be in 5 years, in 10 years, and beyond. Begin with the end in mind. Or as Alma expressed it, look forward with an eye of faith. Transition is healthy. It is a wonderful and essential part in God's plan for our happiness. It is His goal. Part of His great transition has happened already. Immortality has been brought to pass for all of God's children here on earth. Now God and His children, we are working on the second part, toward eternal life, God's greatest gift to us. In the Doctrine and Covenants, and again, I would like you to don't open your scriptures today. Do it every time else, all other times. But take note today. We receive from the Lord the all-encompassing promises in Doctrine and Covenants that all that my Father hath shall be given unto you. What a wonderful and exciting and loving message. The extent of this great promise is beyond my present comprehension. But I do know that it is beautiful, good, desirable, supernal, and real. That appears so far from our present stage in life that we sometimes doubt it to be possible at all. Jesus Christ shares with us the necessary preconditions to reach this lofty goal. We read in the Book of Mormon true doctrine in a nutshell. It is the great message of hope, a redeeming message for each one of us, a pure message of joy, the doctrine of the atonement of the Son of God, the Savior of the world. He exclaims, "Come unto Christ and be perfected in Him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness, and love God with all your might, mind, and strength. Then is His grace sufficient for you, that by His grace ye may be perfect in Christ. Then are ye sanctified in Christ." Can we reach this perfection? The precondition for this transition to perfection and sanctification is no small task. The things we are expected and even required, according to the scriptures, are challenging. This transition on earth is not a spring stroll through the park, nor something for nothing. No, but it is worth the effort. It is based on the law of the harvest. The law, however, will be divinely influenced to our advantage by our loving and caring Heavenly Father. We are promised uplifting sunshine, nourishing rain in times of weak growth and serious setbacks, if only we stretch out our hand, mind, and heart to receive renewing energy and strength through the power of the atonement of Jesus Christ. Repentance is the handle, and forgiveness is the window that will open up the heavens with nourishing rain and uplifting sunshine. Always remember that you need to walk tall because you are sons and daughters of God. Your lives will be fruitful and can overcome any fear or doubt if you only have the right motives, which will give you the enduring power to stay on the high road to true achievement. You can do it. You can do it. Let me share a personal experience with you. After the turmoil of the Second World War, my family ended up in Russia-occupied East Germany. We had fled from Czechoslovakia before the Russian front and lost everything during this terrible war. In the town of Zwickau, East Germany, my family learned about the restored gospel and joined the church. At that time, I was only 6 years old and the youngest of four children. The church made an indescribable difference for the positive in our very difficult lives. Even in these trying times with extreme high financial hardship, we were a happy family because of the church, because of the gospel. Later, as a 10-year-old boy, I attended fourth grade and had to learn Russian as my first foreign language. Initially, it was quite difficult because of the Cyrillic alphabet. But as time went on, I seemed to manage all right. When I turned 11, my parents had to leave East Germany overnight because of the political orientation of my father. He was perceived as a dissenter by the communist government, and his life was endangered. We were refugees again and had lost everything for the second time. Now, I was going to school in West Germany, and the Russian language was not appreciated there at all. We were in the American-occupied part of Germany, and in school I had to learn English as my first foreign language. Somehow, I could not learn English. To learn Russian was difficult, but English was impossible. I even thought my mouth was not made to speak English. My teachers had a hard time. My parents were desperate, and I knew English was not my language. I agonized through some school years, helped and encouraged by kind and understanding teachers. You can bear with me, I'm sure. But I just couldn't do it. It wasn't my thing. At this time, my dream in life was to become a pilot. Almost daily, I rode on my bicycle to the airport. I could picture myself in the cockpit of an airliner or even in a military jet fighter. This was definitely my thing. I soon learned that to become a pilot, I needed to speak English. Suddenly, the resisting condition of the natural form of my mouth changed. I was able to learn English. Why? Because of a strong motive. Our motives and thoughts ultimately influence our actions. Jesus repeatedly emphasized the power of good thoughts and proper motives. Look unto me in every thought, doubt not, fear not, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Nephi wrote for us about the struggles he had with his brothers. And when my brethren saw that I was about to build a ship, they began to murmur against me, saying, our brother is a fool, for he thinketh that he can build a ship. Yea, and he also thinketh that he can cross these great waters. But Nephi clearly had the right motives and the vision, and succeeded because he knew that the Lord shall prepare a way to accomplish the thing which he commandeth. From young Joseph Smith, we can also learn that the right motive was crucial for the success of his mission. When Moroni appeared to Joseph and instructed him about the coming forth of the gold plates, he repeated and rehearsed over and over again to impress on his mind that his motives must be true. Joseph reported that Moroni taught, Satan will try to tempt me. I must have no other object in view in getting the plates but to glorify God, and must not be influenced by any other motive than that of building his kingdom. Otherwise, I could not get them. What a great lesson for all of us in doing things for the right reason, having the right motive. The key to success are our motives, and most of all, the resulting testimony. I will apply these principles to my life as long as I live. And I ask you to apply those principles to your lives with a desire to succeed in this great and marvelous transition and make significant contributions to the world. You're here for that. You will have right, true, proper, and pure motives if you follow the gospel. Our own prospects for eternal advancement are closely influenced by learning to put in the center of our motives a very personal testimony of the Savior, Jesus Christ, and his restored gospel. The prophet Joseph Smith declared, "The fundamental principles of our religion are the testimonies of the apostles and prophets concerning Jesus Christ. That he died, was buried, and rose again on the third day, and ascended into heaven, and all other things which pertain to our religion are only appendages to it." In teachings of the presence of the church, we read, "Faith in God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, is the first principle of our religion and the foundation of our righteousness. The truth is, every son and daughter of God must first have faith in God, faith that he is righteous, that he is almighty, that he governs all things, and that in him all perfection dwells. You may not have knowledge of this, but you must have faith that this is true." How did the young prophet Joseph Smith arrive at this strong testimony? How did he manage this great transition from a teenage farm boy to a prophet of the Lord, to a civic leader, to a man of God? Let's use his life as our example. As I said, he was a teenager when he studied the scriptures. During this time, a multitude of unanswered questions arose out of this study. He wondered, he pondered, he asked, and he received answers. Build your testimony the same way. Study the scriptures. Increase your knowledge of the gospel. Search for answers in the scriptures. If you have doubts or fears, invest the time and energy to find the answers in the scriptures and in the written words of the prophets, the living prophets. Contemplate, meditate, ponder, and pray. Go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Communicate with him daily. Draw close to him, and he will draw close to you. Ask about your studies of the scriptures, about your feelings and your questions, and he will answer. He is waiting. He is real. He is there. Use the gift of the Holy Ghost. Believe in the power of prayer. It takes effort and time. Be patient. It is worth it. You can do it. You are not alone in this. Others went through this before. Remember, it is easy to doubt. It is easy to doubt. But it is a sure sign of maturity and responsibility to question and then search prayerfully for answers. And the pearl of great price, what a telling title for a priceless book. We can read how Moses had questions and how he conversed with the Lord and received divine answers. And again Moses said, I will not cease to call upon God. I have other things to inquire of him. And it came to pass that Moses called upon God, saying, Tell me, I pray thee, why these things are so, and by what thou madest them. And then he asked, Be merciful unto thy servant, O God, and tell me concerning this earth and the inhabitants thereof, and also the heavens, and then thy servant will be content. He might have asked more questions. The answer to this prayer brought great eternal truth, as we know, about the work and the glory of God. At the same time, we need to be humble and learn from the sobering experience Oliver Cowdery had. Do not murmur, ye have not understood. You have supposed that I would give it unto you when you took no thought, save it was to ask me. But behold, I say unto you that you must study it out in your mind. Then you must ask me if it be right. And if it is right, I will cause that you shall feel it, that it is right. But if it be not right, you shall be and you shall have a stupor of thought. And we need to recognize and learn from the experience of the brother of Jared. And the Lord said unto the brother of Jared, What will ye that I should do that ye may have light in your vessels? We have to invest ourselves, our talents, our gifts. During this transition time, the prophet Joseph, again the teenage prophet Joseph, followed precisely that supernal pattern. He worked hard. He did not idle away his time, and he did not bury his talents because of the fear of man. He had pure, noble motives. He had faith, he prayed, and he studied. He repented, showed good works, was obedient, and relied on the Holy Ghost. He was therefore taught from on high. The law of the harvest worked well for him. While translating the Book of Mormon, he had actually only 85 days available as translation time. During these 85 days, so many other things happened in his life, including receiving revelations recorded in the Doctrine and Covenants, moving to Fayette, and many other time-consuming matters, that eventually only about 65 days remained for the transition. What a miracle! Great miracles can happen in your lives, but you need to have this pure motive, this personal testimony. What our testimony needs to include? To build the foundation of for your own personal testimony, you have to use material recommended by the greatest character builder there is, even Jesus Christ. He includes basic materials such as faith, prayer, obedience, honesty, truth, and accountability. In building your own testimony, invest yourself, your time, your brain, your talents. Be focused, study it out, be in tune with the Spirit, and then find your own sacred growth to receive confirmation. Every one of us needs to find in their own sacred growth a very personal testimony of a living Father in heaven, the atonement of Jesus Christ, the prophet Joseph Smith, the restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that we have a living prophet today, even Gordon B. Hinckley, with the authority as the 15th president of this church in an uninterrupted succession from Joseph Smith. What is the testimony good for? This testimony, the firm belief and assurance the feeling in your heart will be a solid foundation, an overarching motive in all you do and accomplish in your lives. It will be your true and faithful companion during good and challenging times in your lifelong transition. It will be a constant source of confidence and motivation. Your testimony provides you with a reason for gladness. It will cultivate a spirit of optimism and happiness and help you to rejoice. Your testimony will help you to choose the right at all times and in all circumstances. Your testimony will give you peace in your mind, His peace. If God is with us, who can be against us? Your testimony will be the strongest motive to select the right path and direction in your educational and vocational endeavors. It will help you not to live below your privileges and possibilities. Not everyone needs to receive a doctor's degree, but get all the education you can. Remember, don't hide your talents because of the fear of man. Don't be afraid of tests, peers, teachers, or new fields of learnings. Learn how to learn. Learn how to learn. Learn to love to read. Reading is a mentally active experience, while watching TV or movie is a passive one. Reading allows you to use your brains and become intellectually connected. Keep reading good books, famous ones, fun ones, sad ones, spiritual ones. Most of all, keep reading the scriptures daily. If you are going to be, as the Apostle Paul counseled, that you keep watchful reading on what you receive, you might be the first one in your family to earn an academic degree. Maybe even the first PhD in your family, or the first to enter into a professional career. This will be great. You can do it. You have the right motives. Education will bless your own lives, the lives of generations to follow, your community and the church. Your testimony will even help you to choose your eternal companion. The transition from single to married will be well grounded because you will base your preparation and decision on true values and feelings. To find the best eternal companion, you have to be just that. Live according to the doctrine, the commandments, the covenants given through the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. In preparing for an eternal marriage, make sure that you follow through and live worthy to have a temple recommend at all times. Let the temple touch your life. When the temple touches you, you cannot stay the same. You become better. Your firm belief, your testimony will help you to be worthy of the spiritual guidance of the Holy Ghost while seeking eternal companion and building relationships toward that end. Righteous love comes naturally and so beautifully that sometimes it appears as if there is a special providence about it. President Packer said, "While I'm sure some young couples have some special guidance in getting together, I do not believe in predestined love. If you desire the inspiration of the Lord in this crucial decision, you must live the standards of the church, and you must pray constantly for the wisdom to recognize those qualities upon which such a successful union may be based. You must do the choosing rather than to seek for some one and only so-called soulmate, chosen for you by someone else and waiting for you. You are to do the choosing. You must be wise beyond your years and humbly prayerfully." The First Presidency answered a question at the end of June 1977 in sign by saying, "We have no revealed word to the effect that when we were in the pre-existent state, we choose our parents and our husbands or wives. You are choosing now and here during this exciting and wonderful transition time on earth. Moral agency, the freedom to choose, is certainly one of God's greatest gifts next to life itself. We have the honorable right to choose, therefore we better choose the right. This is not always easy. But we have a living prophet today, like in the old times. And now Gordon B. Hinckley is our prophet. They are here to help us make the right choices of our own free will and transition. And if we follow the prophet's voice, we will joyfully make the decisions as it is written in the scriptures, for his word he shall receive, as if from mine own mouth, in all patience and faith. And if we do this, we will receive great blessings in many different areas and phases of our earthly transition. As you follow his counsel and guidance, even through this his servants, the prophets. And we read in the scriptures again, I will open you the windows of heaven and pour you out the blessings, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. President Gordon B. Hinckley spoke to you a short while ago about the B's you needed to succeed in life. Let's follow the prophet. Let's listen to a prophet's voice and claim the blessings which come into our lives by following his counsel and guidance. During your studies here at RICS and at BYU, Idaho, you are aiming for A grades. And I hope that your teachers will be kind enough to give them to you. I also hope that you will earn and deserve these A's. In conclusion, may I give you a couple of C's that will help you to pass through this exciting and wonderful earthly transition, lifting you to higher grounds of academic and spiritual achievement. You think C's won't do that? Well, let's see. See who you are. See your supernal roots. See the purpose of your being. See your potential. See the divine role of the Savior and his atonement. See and follow the living prophet. See your wonderful and exciting future. You are a marvelous group of young people. Go forward and become the valiant men and women of sign you were prepared to be. You are just great. The Lord trusts you and calls on you. I give you my testimony that this work is true, and I declare, arise and shine forth, that you may be a light to the nations of the world. Of this I testify in gratitude for each one of you, and in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.